You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Honey, I'm home. Vacation has officially started.
We are off to SeaWorld. All right, kids, let's get packing.
Hun, did you call Perfection Auto Works for the free summer trip inspection before we hit the highway?
Oh, honey, I forgot. I'll give them a call right now.
Hey, we're not going anywhere without Perfection Auto Works free 26-point inspection checking out our car.
How do you avoid jaws on your wall for auto repair? Start with Perfection Auto Works free 26-point inspection. Then consider if it's time for brakes, major service, timing belt replacement, or any other scheduled maintenance on your car, truck, or SUV, from an Audi to a Volvo, and all cars in between. Don't leave town without that free vacation inspection. 323-8650 or check out our cool website at perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona, now in our 32nd year of continuous political talk. Thanks for making all of this success possible. A great lineup of guests today. Dr. Stephen Zunis of the University of San Francisco will talk about the Afghan debacle. And we'll talk with Matt Klink, GOP strategist and consultant out of Los Angeles. He'll talk about what's going to happen with Newsom, the governor of California. You know, there's hundreds of candidates on the ballot in California. If you go to the ballot to vote on this recall, 200 names do you have to weed through in order to vote for your choice for governor of California? It's insane. We'll be talking to Matt Klink about the political fallout to Joe Biden as president of the United States after what has happened in Afghanistan. Let's talk to Dr. Stephen Zunis, who's been at the University of San Francisco since 1955, teaching courses on the politics of the Middle East and other regions, nonviolent conflict resolution, U.S. foreign policy, and globalization. He served as the founder and the first director of the Middle Eastern Studies Program, a prominent specialist on U.S. and Middle East policy. Professor Zunis has presented hundreds of public lectures and conference papers in both the United States and throughout dozens of foreign countries, traveled frequently to the Middle East and other conflict regions, meeting prominent government officials, scholars, and dissidents. One of the most respected Middle East observers of politics is Dr. Stephen Zunis of the University of San Francisco. Doctor, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us. Thank you so much.
Great to be with you. Though actually, I've been at USF since 1995, not 1955.
Seems longer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
95. All right.
But well, you know, but I've been talking with you for most of those 25 years, actually, and indeed, I was just thinking this morning about a conversation we had right after 9/11. I had an op-ed in the in USA Today, in which I confirmed that we certainly had the right and obligation to go after Al Qaeda, and take out Bin Laden if we had to, and all that kind of stuff. But I warned that if we got into a ground war in Afghanistan, we would be stuck there for many years fighting these tribal groups that have been hostile to foreigners for centuries, and we would not be able to win. And so it's so sad that here we are, nearly 20 years later, and unfortunately, it appears that I was right.
Well, that's too bad. In fact, extremely unfortunate. Let's get to some questions I think so many of us are asking, and that is, what is the threat of the new Taliban regime to the United States? We talk about an arms bazaar. They took what's left of our army equipment and will sell it to those that might harm us, and as well as providing an incubator climate for terrorism all over the world. Is that possible, and are we threatened by this new government?
Well, the people of Afghanistan are certainly threatened by this new government, but I'm I don't think we have a lot, whole lot to worry about, at least immediately. And the reason I say this is that they're going to have a hard enough time controlling Afghanistan to try to want to interfere anywhere else. And also, as part of this deal, the withdrawal, which let's remember was made by during the Trump administration, was made by President Trump and talks in Qatar, that the deal was that the U.S. Would get out. And if Taliban took over, they'd take over. But under no circumstances would they harbor international terrorists like Al Qaeda that could threaten the United States. Now, I don't particularly trust the Taliban to keep its word per se, but at the same time, they are desperate for international recognition and legitimacy. They had a hard time with the isolation that they had before, and furthermore, they knew what happened when Al Qaeda did use Afghanistan as a base of operation. They found themselves bombed, overthrown, and thrown into exile. They don't want to do that again. So, for those reasons, I think they will actually be more cautious about becoming once again a refuge for groups that could threaten the United States. But again, I'm less worried about us, but I am pretty worried about the people in Afghanistan.
Well, the human rights issue is going to be one that will be prominent almost on a daily basis. What happens to women? What happens to young girls? What happens to culture? What happens to the people of Afghanistan? We should be concerned about that, should we not?
Yeah, very much so. And unfortunately, there's not much we can do about it at this point except to try to get to help people who need to leave, especially those who put themselves in jeopardy by serving our government and our forces as translators and drivers and any other number of positions where they could be subjected to retaliation. Even here, though, I mean, there's some talk about has the Taliban moderated somewhat, and there's that kind of talk, and I frankly don't think they have had any kind of change of heart. But again, in terms of trying to get international legitimacy and avoid sanctions and things like that, and the fact that the eyes of the world are upon them right now, that might, it could be a motivator to be somewhat less draconian than they were before. Again, there's no guarantee, and again, I don't think they're more enlightened in terms of their worldview, but on a pragmatic level, that might temper the extremism somewhat. But the fact is that their governments in the world, like Saudi Arabia, that have very similar policies towards women and that sort of thing, and the U.S. has found had no problems with sending arms and advisors and selling them billions of dollars of arms and tens of billions of dollars of arms over the years, and so it's a real tragedy by any measure, and I really fear for the Afghans, especially women living under such an extremist group. I'm only hoping that perhaps it won't be quite as god awful as it was back in the 1990s when they first took over.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Souness of the University of San Francisco, Middle East expert. Sharia law, talk about that and how it might play into the administration of this new government.
Well, Sharia law, basically, it's Islamic law. But like any kind of law, look at our own constitution, there can be a whole number of interpretations. And these guys have a particularly reactionary interpretation. I mean, just the role of women, for example. If you look at there's nothing in the Quran about women having to be covered from head to toe or not being allowed to work or anything like that. I mean, the Prophet Muhammad's wife was a successful businesswoman who basically funded the early days of his ministry. She was the only literate member of the family. She wrote down the words that the prophet said that the angel Gabriel told him from God, and so she a woman actually wrote down the Quran, and so Sharia law need not be the most extreme manifestation that we often hear about. But unfortunately, under the Taliban, they do take a very extreme interpretation and are trying to impose it. Now, You know, when they ruled Afghanistan before, they wouldn't allow women to go to school. They wouldn't allow women to work outside the home. They wouldn't allow women to see male doctors, but given that female doctors couldn't work, men, women couldn't go to the doctor. I mean, it was horrific. But the good news is, you know, that again, that they seem to say, well, we won't have co-ed education anymore, but we will allow women to go to school, and we will allow women to have jobs. Again, we'll see what actually happens in reality.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Souness, University of San Francisco. What do we know about the leadership of this new Taliban II?
Well, some of it's some of the same people, and some of it's a newer generation that has come to the fore. They are in negotiations with certain representatives of the previous government that were in power before to get work out the details of the transition, but it's a pretty shadowy group in a lot of ways. So we really don't know exactly who is going to emerge in the leadership. It's also important to note that the Taliban is not a centralized organization. This is not like the Communist Party in Vietnam, you know, where it was a very clear hierarchy. You knew who was in charge, and you know their program. It was they could impose pretty directly. They're different factions, and they're going to be battling each other, maybe not physically, but in a lot of ways. And it'll be now actually in charge of the country and actually have to run things. It could go in any number of directions.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Souness of the University of San Francisco. Stephen, I need a quick break, and then we'll come right back. I want to ask you about the Biden situation. Is it a debacle? And indeed, how severe will history punish him, if at all? Some left-wing columnists, Bill Press in particular, said, well, they'll just simply say that America got out of Afghanistan after 20 years. It should have gotten out a lot earlier, and nobody will remember how we got out, even though it's been so messy and so crazy. But I'll ask you about that in a moment. Back with Dr. Stephen Souness from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back in a moment.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest, Dr. Stephen Souness of the University of San Francisco. Could anyone, especially the President of the United States, foreseen what kind of exit this chaotic situation has created in Afghanistan? And who is to blame? How big a debacle is it? And what will be Bill Press say? Well, 20 years from now, nobody will care. No, we just got out when we had to get out. What is the fallout politically, do you think, to Joe Biden, our president, and to this administration, Stephen Souness?
It's hard to say. I mean, clearly there are some really serious intelligence failures. That's not necessarily the fault of President Biden, but the rapidity of the collapse, you know, I think took pretty much everybody by surprise. There will be investigations, and hopefully some people will be held accountable. But in terms of the overall decision to withdraw, I think a lot of people are seeing it long overdue. Polls a month ago show that over three quarters of the American people believe that we should pull out. I mean, basically what we were seeing is that this was essentially a Ponzi scheme, really. I mean, the house of cards, whatever analogy you want to use, that the government was so riddled with corruption, this coalition of warlords and opium magnates and tribal leaders and others that were cobbled together by the U.S. when the Bush administration initially invaded the country. These guys really, it would have collapsed anyway. It was a series of bad mistakes under both Republican and Democratic administrations. So in one sense, Biden doesn't deserve any more blame for what happened in Afghanistan than Gerald Ford deserves blame for what happened in Vietnam, just because the final collapse, you know, happened to be on his watch. Now, it doesn't mean that there won't be Republicans and maybe some others who will try to hang it around Biden's neck. But he's right in the sense that he was kind of boxed in by the Trump decision. Trump pulled out most of the troops and basically made agreement with the Taliban. They would not attack U.S. forces in return for them leaving by May. Biden delayed it for a few months to try to make it less bad. But, you know, if he had broken the agreement and insisted the troops would stay, brought more troops in, they would immediately be attacked by the Taliban, and we'd be back in a war situation. And again, as Biden said, if we continue for a year, 5 years, 20 years, would the outcome really be any different? And while I'm quite willing to criticize President Biden on a number of his foreign policy positions, and even though I clearly there's some screw ups at the very end, I think much of the criticism, frankly, has been unfair. I think he, again, it was a Ponzi scheme, and he had the courage to, the first president had the courage to finally call it out.
What kind of public relations, or foreign relations, I should say, will the Taliban have with the neighboring countries, Russia, China, the major players, India as well, certainly throughout the entire globe? What kind of position will the Taliban government of Afghanistan be placed in?
Well, if they're as bad as they were last time, they probably won't have any foreign relations at all. I think they're only maybe two countries that recognized the Taliban government their first time around. If they play a little smarter and do get recognition, it's hard to see where they will go. I mean, obviously the Russians and Chinese are glad to see the Americans out, but at the same time, they are concerned about a potential Islamic extremism within their own borders, and would not want to see a group like the Taliban militants that could challenge them, potentially engage in terrorism. Pakistan has actually quietly supported the Taliban in many ways, especially people in the intelligence service and the military. As a way to, in many ways, it extends their influence in the area. But of course, India is out there trying to undermine anything that is helpful to Pakistan. So we could see that played off. Iran is very much opposed to the Taliban. They almost went to war with the Taliban back in 1998 after they massacred a number of Iranian diplomats and journalists, and they persecuted the Hazaras, who are a Shia minority in the north, in the western part of the country, and of course they've been hosts to large numbers of Afghan refugees, not as many as the Pakistanis, but up to a million at certain points. So, they're going to be involved in one way or another. But the Taliban doesn't really have good relations with anybody except arguably some elements in Pakistan. So it'll be very interesting to see what kind of foreign relations emerge.
What kind of relationship will the Taliban have with the United States after we get everybody out that can get out? That's going to be an ongoing situation and tenuous, to say the least. What do you predict?
Well, I certainly don't see the United States recognizing the government any time soon. But at the same time, in order to help facilitate getting Americans and at least some Afghans out, the U.S. has had to communicate with them. And again, you'd have Americans sitting down and talking directly with the Taliban in Qatar, starting in the Trump administration. In fact, Trump convinced the Afghan government to release 5,000 Taliban members as part of this deal, which some people say may have contributed to the swiftness of the victory. So we're going to have to deal with them on some level, just because they are the de facto government. Though I certainly do not see very close relations again, given our history there.
Well, $1 trillion gone, 47,000 civilians, you write in your latest publication, a dead, 2,500 American soldiers, 1,000 NATO soldiers, 4,000 civilian contractors, and 70,000 Afghan soldiers and police. It's been a terrible price we've paid. Dr. Zunis, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate you giving up part of your weekend to us. Always learn from you, and it's so good to have you back on the air. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
It's great to talk to you again, John. It really is.
Good. By the way, your daughter graduated from the U of A. I want people to know you have a local connection, right?
I really enjoyed her time in Tucson, yes.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Good to talk with you. Thank you. Dr. Stephen Zunis, University of San Francisco. We'll be back in a moment to talk about the political fallout to the Biden administration with Matt Klink, GOP strategist and consultant in Los Angeles. That's following these messages and a world news report from the Perfection Auto Work Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
And they're off and running. Pedal to the metal madness.
My gosh, the drivers in Tucson are insane. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, look at that. A near collision. Oh, number 21 just missed the lead driver. Oh, no, I saw that coming. A pileup on the first lap.
It's insanity, I tell you.
Those cars are out of commission. Look at number 17. There's smoke coming out of the engine.
Look at the flames underneath that vehicle.
Well, he knows what to do. He's pulling into Perfection Auto Works pit stop. Look at those mechanics go like ants on honey.
This is incredible. Look, he's getting back in the race.
What was that? 7.6 seconds. That's perfection.
When you're involved in the fast-paced race of life, and you know you're in need of a pit stop, pull into Perfection Auto Works. Our expert crew and free 26-point inspection will get you back on the road fast and furiously. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. I want to thank Dr. Stephen Zunis, University of San Francisco, for his observations on Afghanistan, the pullout. We're going to talk now with Matt Klink. For more than 30 years, experience working on complex, controversial, high-profile issues for the public and private sectors, as well as the candidates for elective office and ballot measure campaigns, Matt Klink has worked for corporate political clients in 35 countries and 6 continents. He has boosted over 20 years of experience working for oil and gas and energy clients in California and Western states. He holds a political management degree from George Washington University, graduate of the political management and BA in history from the University of California at Berkeley. Here is Matt Klink, one of the most respected GOP consultants and strategists in America. Matt, welcome to the show. Thank you.
Thanks, John. It's good to be with you on Saturday.
All right. Let's talk about the political fallout for the president of the United States. How damaging to 2022, 2024, or is it damaging at all?
Oh, it's a huge blow to the credibility of Joe Biden, and I think you're going to start seeing cracks, not only from the liberal mainstream media, but also even among Democrats in Congress. He's been roundly criticized by Democrats for, not so much that he wanted to evacuate and pull troops out of Afghanistan, but just the ineptitude by which this current situation was handled.
All presidents make big mistakes. We've seen one after another from all the presidents that I've watched since I was old enough to remember in about 1950. I was 8 years old at the time, not that political, but I didn't know who the president of the United States was. What can he do to turn this around? If he's not going to resign, you know. So
no.
So you know, we got him. So how does he fix it? As broken as you might apparently see that it is.
Well, I mean, look, the Democrats still control both houses of Congress. He has the bipartisan infrastructure bill that's sitting in the House. And then he's got the, depending upon who you talk to, the $3.5 or $5.5 trillion, they call it another, the human infrastructure bill, which is which it can pass with a simple majority. You know, I mean, Democrats, they need a strong Joe Biden president. You know, his polling data is now below 50%, according to the Real Clear Politics average, which hurts. So, again, it's just going to be really, really difficult. But he does need, he needs to come back when Congress gets back into session and put some points on the scoreboard. The challenge is that this shenanigans and all of the horrible things that are happening in Kabul are going to dominate the public space at least until the 30th of the month.
Well, that's going to play all the way down the ballot, too, in 2022. We're talking about Congress, and you were predicting that the Republicans will take the House, and perhaps even predicting that the Democrats will not be able to succeed in a majority, even though it's a slim majority now. This could be, you talk about a debacle in Kabul, but it's going to be a debacle in America for the Democratic Party if he doesn't right this ship.
You know, he's kind of floated, Joe Biden has floated from one self-made crisis to another. I mean, we've got a crisis at the southern border. We've got a crime crisis in the major U.S. cities. We've got inflation. And now we've got, allegedly, from the most experienced foreign policy president ever, according to the Democratic campaign rhetoric, a complete snafu in Afghanistan. So it's just very worrisome. And then you couple that with the decline of prestige that America has, and with the president has looked grossly out of touch. I'm not going to talk about his mental state because that's not my, you know, I'm not an expert in that. But his remarks have seemed grossly out of touch with the reality of what people can see with their own eyes. And that's very, very disturbing.
Talking with GOP consultant and strategist Matt Klink in Los Angeles, you sent me a copy of a couple of pages of the California ballot in the recall election that is being held. Is it Tuesday the vote? When's the vote?
September the 14th.
Oh, September the 14th. Oh, so we got a couple of weeks to go. All right.
We got a couple of weeks to go.
Good God, there's 150, 200 names on the ballot. That's insane. Insane, by the way.
It is. It's nuts. And, I mean, look, recall should be for people that have done horrible things in office, like what Governor Cuomo did in New York. And what's happening in California is a total abuse of process. That being said, Gavin Newsom, in spite of the state being overwhelmingly Democrat, Gavin Newsom faces he's fighting for his life. In large part because most people aren't aware that there's an election, or they don't think that it's a concern. And the people that are motivated to vote, they want to vote Gavin Newsom out.
By the way, is there a runoff or anything? I mean, whoever has the most votes wins. I don't know how that works. How does it work?
It's completely kooky. So it's a two-part ballot. The first question is, shall the governor of the state of California be recalled? If that gets a 50% plus one vote, then the next question is, who shall replace him? And it is a pure, whoever gets the most votes wins. So you could have someone, you know, whether it's talk show host Larry Elder or former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, you could have them getting elected governor with 20% of the vote, of the 20% that are going to vote in the election. So a very, very small minority. And I think what it's going to lead to is some wholesale reform of the process in California.
By the way, you suggested that the part one is, do you want to recall the governor? And what if they say no? Then what happens to all the votes for all those people that were on that ballot?
Then it doesn't matter. It, it's over.
Oh, it's over. So okay.
If the answer to the first question is no, then it automatically everything else is irrelevant. And that's what Gavin Newsom is telling people to do. But it's really, really difficult to tell people to vote no, and then to leave the next question blank. And that's the real problem. And in 2003, when this happened the last time, don't forget that we had a very high profile person jump onto the ballot, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We still had 103 candidates in the race, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, before he was governor, was so popular, he was the literal 10,000 pound gorilla in the race.
By the way, for somebody to step into the ballot box looking perhaps for a name, and going through hundreds plus names, but that seems to me to take some time if you're going to read all the names, unless you're just looking for one before you get in there. But I just see this as insane.
Well, and the sad part is they're not in alphabetical order, because draw for ballot order, they literally draw ping pong balls with letters on them. So there's no, you know, I know if I wanted to vote for Kevin Faulkner, I would just go in and look, you know, look at the F's and choose the F, you know, choose his name. It's not even in that order. So you literally have two pages of two columns of names to go through. It's very confusing. I think that people are going to get frustrated. And the end result may be that a governor who was elected with 62% of the vote in 2020 may get recalled by someone who is going to end up with a mere fraction of that vote.
Insane. Unbelievable. Well, thanks so much, Matt Klink.
It's only so in California, John.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, my son lives in California, and I keep telling him how crazy they are out there, and he goes, oh, no, they're not that crazy. And I was talking with him today about the ballot, and he went, you know, maybe we are that crazy. So he has now become a believer in how nuts some people are.
And look, all of this is a reaction to what we saw as corruption from East Coast cities. So we have all these progressive reforms in place that in the 1910s, they made a lot of sense. But with the advent of technology, it's so easy to qualify something for the ballot, and the threshold is so low that the laws just need to be updated and modernized to make them a little bit more common sense. And other states have recall, but you have to get more votes to recall the person than that candidate got in the previous election, which is a nice fail-safe. So, you know, we'll get there. You know, California, I'll paraphrase Winston Churchill, we always reach the right decision after we try everything
else. Everything else, exactly. Matt Klink, good to talk with you. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for spending part of yours with us. Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Anytime, John. See
You're the best.
Bye-bye.
Matt Klink, GOP strategist, GOP consultant out of Los Angeles, is one of the more respected consultants for the Republican Party in all of America. We're so fortunate to have his observations and views on our radio talk show. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. I'll be back with Jim Hanley, our financial expert. What about supporting all the bonds from the Fed? Is that going to continue? And what does that mean to you and me and my money and your money? We'll find out from Jim Hanley after these messages.
Do you want election integrity and transparency? Are you one of those Americans who is sick and tired of the political duopoly? Do you wish there were another viable choice? Do you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours? Do you question the political theater you're fed every day? What do you believe, the approved narrative or your own eyes?
Are you ready to become engaged for freedom no matter your political party preference? Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Are you tired of being lumped into the worst elements of history when you exercise your right to speak, dissent, or petition your government? Are you perplexed by those who cannot distinguish between speech and violence? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Work Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Let's find a market update from Jim Hanley. Fed bond buying, is that going to continue? Job claims and consumer sentiment. Let's talk with my financial expert and hopefully yours, Jim Hanley. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show. Let's talk money.
Great to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Well, the Dow was in pretty good shape last week. It, let's see here, was down 1.11%. It lost 395 points, you know, for the week. It closed yesterday at 35,120. The tech-heavy NASDAQ was down 0.72% for the week. So I think the market is hanging in there pretty well, you know, considering all the uncertainty. And the biggest uncertainty is whether we are going to pass the Build Back Better plans. You know, we had to sit by while Congress recessed. You know, they're coming back the 23rd, so it's, what, Tuesday, I guess. And I think that Nancy Pelosi is going to be very eager to get the reconciliation budget passed. That's the $3.5 trillion American Families Plan that is the real companion and the real meat on the bone of the you know, of the jobs plan. The jobs plan is really insufficient by itself to create the kind of economic growth that we need right now. And in fact, you know, that's the real issue. The Federal Reserve is meeting in Jackson Hole next week, and the big thing they have to figure out is, are they going to continue to buy bonds at the rate that they have been buying them? They've been buying them at $120 billion per month, $80 billion in U.S. Treasuries and $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities. And so what they're doing is they're propping up the U.S. bond market by being the, you know, the buyer of last resort. And you know, this has a consequence. When the Federal Reserve buys bonds, they have to pay for them, and so they pay for them with cash. And as a result, the money supply has grown just, I wouldn't call it exponentially, but it's grown really incredibly. If you look at where it was February of 2020, there was about $4 trillion, let's call it cash, in the economy. And by June, this last June, it had grown to $19.3 trillion. And so that's a, you know, a gain of $15.25 trillion, what, in less than a year and a half. That's it's 378%. So what we see when we have too much cash, you know, floating around, is that if it doesn't work, if it's not moving, and there is actually a metric, an economic metric called the velocity of money. And the velocity has been declining, you know, quite significantly since the Great Recession. I think that is measured in
billions of billions of dollars every month. How much has, you know, transacted in a period of a month? And that's, you know, the metric has dropped from 290 to 170 between the first quarter of 2008 and the fourth quarter of 2014. So I assume that the St. Louis Fed can make the calculation more current, more recent than that period. But still, it's a huge amount. And the reason why money loses its velocity is that the money supply grows faster than the country's production, economic production. And so that's why I wanted to go off. We wanted to talk about the Fed meeting next week and about their bond buying program. But it is extremely relevant to the Build Back Better plans. If we do not go on this track of just incredible planned economic growth, we are going to be swamped by this money. The economy does not grow fast enough. 2.5% per year is what we have been settling for like the last 20 years. It's not fast enough, John. And we have to ramp up production. So it is vitally important for the health of the economy that we pass this, and more importantly, that we pass this and fund it with taxes. We know that we have an incredible stratification of wealth and income in this country, that we have this enormous chasm, and we've got to get that money from the richest Americans and put it to work, because it's not moving. I would say there's a crisis looming, but you know, it really does not look good. I think that we're coming out of the pandemic pretty well. You know, we have this Delta variant surge that's going on. But, you know, I think that's going to play out, you know, and as long as the children don't really start showing, you know, really high infection rates, I think it's going to play out pretty quick. But still, I think there's only one state in the country which is back to its economic activity pre-pandemic. All of the others are still lagging behind where they were pre-pandemic. And so we have a long way to go to get back to that level of activity.
Let me talk about inflation. You know, we keep talking about that, people doom and gloom. Do you see this as a continuing challenge to this government to deal with it, or is it going to be okay, as we would say?
Well, John, I think that, you know, when what we saw most recently year over year, I think, was the July figure. We knew we saw July 2020 to July 2021 was 5.4%. You know, that's a little bit worrisome. You know, we know that the pandemic, you know, has caused extreme disruption to the economy, and remember that what inflation is measuring are changes in prices. Mostly, you know, there's the producer price index, but there's the consumer price index, and that's the one that people are mostly, you know, aware of. And when you have disruptions of supply, which is what we have had, we've talked about supply chain disruptions. It will impact prices. When there's not enough supply, the price goes up. And so, it's not clear how much of that June to June, figure was due to supply chain disruption, and how much, you know, is due to too much money, you know, chasing too few goods. And there is another very short term on the horizon event, which is also coming along, and that is the end of the American Rescue Plan supplemental unemployment benefits, not only for people who qualify for state, you know, benefits, but also those gig workers, the 1099 workers, and Labor Day is the end of supplemental unemployment, and that means there's $6 billion a week, which is not going into bank accounts for people to spend. And so we're going to see, I don't know how it will affect, you know, the economy, but we're going to see a sharp decline in the amount of consumer purchasing power we have in September. So we're going to see some change in December. It'll probably be a blip on the in the recovery.
Wow.
So that's coming as well.
Jim, thanks so much for all of this information. It's been one great report. Want people to realize they can call you at 623-3646, talk about their investment dreams and hopes, and also about the markets that we've just talked about. I know of no person I've talked with in 50 years of broadcasting that is smarter and better at financial advising than you. And I thank you so much for being on the show. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing some of your weekend with us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, John.
You bet.
Have a great day.
Jim Hanley, 623-3646, or go to jimhanleyllc.com. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, thank you, Mike Emery, for sponsoring our show. You've made so many things possible for us, and we appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Pesky Auto Repair. I hear these guys are good fellas.
Why are you here? What are you doing here?
Hey, my car's making a funny noise, and,
What do you mean, funny? I don't understand funny. What, like, I amuse you? Like, this is a funny place? Funny like a clown? What do you mean, funny? What?
What are you doing?
Tell me.
How much is this going to cost me?
What do you mean, how much is it going to cost you? What do you mean? What are you doing? Embarrass me in front of my mechanics? What's wrong with you? Get out of here. Leave the keys and get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of my shop right now. Get out of here. I'll get back with you.
When it comes to auto and truck repair, not everyone you deal with is a good fella. At Perfection Auto Works, we take car repair very seriously. From your brakes, belts, and hoses to funny noises under the hood. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.